Welcome back to the Odd Jobs Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for being here with us.
Episode two, baby.
In episode two, we're in the terrible twos.
What are we like? Honestly. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to everyone who listened and watched our first podcast.
The first one with Alex Franklin.
With Alex Franklin, wonderful Alex Franklin. Thank you so much for everyone who did, everyone who shared, everyone who messaged us about it. It was very nice.
Yeah. Also, well, because this is a baby new podcast.
New podcast.
Tiny
fresh
little
baby. Fresh out the womb.
So this is where we do have to ask like a couple of gross things. Please.
You can't even get it out. I don't care. I'm shameless. Go, like, follow, share, subscribe. I'm talking on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's right. You can watch these podcasts. You can see me yell at people. You can see Ruby flustering trying to keep us on track. You can witness that all happen. Live on your podcast or live on your YouTube.
You will be able to see moments where my eyes are darting between the time and the notes being like,
correct. But yes, so on, and we have our YouTube shorts on there as well, but go comment on our YouTube. Only nice things. Okay. Only we're trying to curate a lovely, generous community. Well, Ruby's trying to, I'm happy to sow division, but Ruby's very much trying to keep the vibes great, and I appreciate that. So say some nice things on YouTube there. We're also on Patreon.
Yes,
our go Patreon. Make a Patreon profile.
Yes, so on Patreon, if you have like a Patreon profile, and some people do because you already follow podcasts that you like, and so you might already have one, and so if you become a part of like our gang and come and follow us, we're gonna release we're calling it a tea break.
Yeah, because
we got cups of
we're
tea.
We're here with our cups of tea.
Which again is only interesting for the visual viewers.
Yeah, so get on. There you go. Get on YouTube. Get on Patreon. Come watch us. You can watch us on Patreon as well.
But if you're on Patreon and you sign up to part of our gang, we're going to...
For free.
Then what we're planning on doing, and I think this is really nice, which is we're just going to spend 10 to 15 minutes just chatting, having a little tea break as you would at work.
Yeah.
And talking about, you know, what's going on. So if you just want to have a little catch up with us.
A little bit of spicy story. Let me tell you what I got up to last night. Catherine got home at 4 a.m. If you want to hear about it, get yourself on Patreon.
We got to keep it under 10 to 15 minutes.
I know, yeah. We'll get part one of last night.
All right, so that's going to be available for free on Patreon. So if you sign up to Patreon and become part of our gang, then you'll get that. And then I think we have future plans for some other stuff.
Yeah, some little paid spicy things. But we'll keep that under wraps for now.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking too much now before the episode.
Oh, because, oh my God, episode two. Sorry, the wonderful Dan Y.
Dan Y, friend of the pod,
lover of mine, Dan Y.
He's the quickest, wittiest person.
The wittiest, quickest wit. and for such a tall man as well. Like, tall men don't normally need great personalities. And yet, there is no greater personality than Dan Y.
And this episode is so good.
It's so good.
So much fun.
One of the highlights of this episode for me is you and Dan's very differing work ethic and how that comes to pass.
Yeah.
We realise you both worked at bars. Very different type of workers.
Yeah.
So stay strapped for that.
I think if me and Dan worked in a bar together, we would have got on.
I mean, both me and Dan disagree, but okay. By all means, you think that.
And do you know what? You can pass judgment on
that
too. Yeah,
listen to that and see what you think.
Leave a comment on what you think.
Yes. Hello. Anyways, enough nattering from us. We'll get you into the episode. Enjoy. One of the girls in work is like getting a, carpal tunnel or whatever else.
Yeah.
But they were like, it's because your thumb is basically always stretched like that.
She's a hitchhiker.
Yeah.
She's a hobo. How is hitchhiking going?
She's a hobo on the weekends. Okay, so hold on. We have the wonderful Dan Y here with us today. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Gorgeous to be here.
You are, of course, a multi-hyphenated, very talented comedian, drag queen, writer, director.
Of this year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've done any. This year you directed Siblings.
Yeah, I directed Siblings. And then I consulted on like a few other shows as well.
Consultant.
Yeah.
Dramaturg.
Yeah. Directed Siblings when they were top 20 best reviewed that year?
Yes.
With your little handprint all over it?
No, I mean, beautiful. I mean, more than I've ever got. Which I love.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it's been nice. It's been nice just to kind of, just to think, like, where can I apply this skill set that I've built without having to be on stage all the time?
Yeah.
And a lot of that is, like, helping other people.
Oh, God.
Which I love. It's, like, really nice. It's
You're
been
such
really
a
fun.
Charitable
I was just
person.
About to say, Mother yeah. Teresa of stand-up comedy. Yeah, alternative comedy.
Yeah, isn't that the Samaritan story in the Bible yeah. where yeah. there's that comedy consultant on the side of the road? Jesus walks by.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're all just having a laugh.
But no, very proud of that show. The girls smashed it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And just fun to be silly. So, like, to hang out with your mates and just, like, be stupid together and
yeah.
that be
yeah.
work is so much fun.
Well, we've I think as well, people on this podcast are sometimes when we're like, this is your job, they're like, I'm not a director, I don't really write, do I write? I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
But people are so, I think because it is like, sometimes you're like, I'm just being silly with my mates. And I'm like, yeah, but you're writing a show. Yeah. Even if it is a good time, it doesn't mean that you aren't incredibly accomplished and glamorous.
Thank you so much. And
but that's not what we're actually here to talk about.
No.
Thank
no.
God. I'm sick of people talking to me about me. Well, wait, what are we doing here?
No, no, we do want to talk about you.
We want to talk about you, but not the glamour.
No, about the glamour.
We want to talk about the grind.
Yeah, good.
We want to talk about the hustle.
Yeah.
The guts, the glory that got you to the glamorous job.
Yeah,
all the things.
The 0-hour contracts of it all.
Yes. The experience required.
Oh, my God. So much.
No, so what was the first ever way that you made money?
Blowjobs.
Grim. You can have made money via blowjobs, but the first one, straight into the workforce on your knees.
Yeah.
Tough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You are Catholic though, aren't you?
It's true, it's true. It was the priest. But no, the first...
Straight out the gate.
Gate, G-A-Y-T-E.
Yes.
But no, the first way I earned money, I used to work for bank retail store. Do you
bank
know that?
Bank retail.
So it was like this. It was like a little shop in Coventry, like in the city centre. And I was about 15, and it was just like it's a shop that like sold like Paul's Boutique and like Uggs and like
oh okay
like shabby kind of like fashion.
Yes. I do know what you mean.
So I worked there, but I was like this kind of like.
So retail.
Emo, yeah, retail bitch. And I couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear it.
Really?
Like spending a whole day just putting like clothes that are so ugly an inch apart from each other. Who cares? Honestly, who cares? But I was like this kind of like indie emo kid, like slick fringe cardigans. And they're like put me on like security at the front of the shop. And I'll just let
you
people
were tall?
Yeah, always.
Okay,
always.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just didn't care so much that I would just honestly let people steal all the time.
Oh
and
yes.
Be like, yeah, go steal, girl.
Yeah.
It
did
was
they
a horrible
like
job.
Start to know that?
Oh no, I absolutely got fired. Didn't last long.
Really? What did they say to you when they fired you?
I think I was still within
and also
the...
who fired you?
Oh God, okay. It was a girl that I really got along with. This always happens actually. There's always like a kind of a mean girl manager. And at first we become best friends and then we become enemies.
Yes. Could you threaten her?
Well also
with
a knife. Yeah. I took one of the knives from one of the people buying the clothes and I threatened her with it.
It's her clientele's favorite accessory.
Yeah, listen, this is not what I want to be counting inches. It's not with cloves. Do you know what I mean? But no, it's normally that at first they're like, this is a really fun person to hang around. And then they realise I'm the worst employee they've ever had in their lives.
Right, yeah.
And then it doesn't work. And yeah, I got fired. But that's okay because I honestly couldn't bear it. And it was more that at 15, I wanted a little bit of like autonomy.
Yeah,
like, to have money.
Yeah.
So I could do things. But that was the first job that I had. And then I worked in like a... Oh God, it was called the British... I had a flag on my back. I had a fag on my front.
Britannia.
No.
All right. For fucking Coventry.
Yeah, so I wrote that song. Have you heard it? How does that go again?
What are you asking the Irish woman? I don't know.
Because we made you sing it at
I
schools.
I was about to say, it's a my past lives are coming back to me with the trauma of Rule Britannia.
No, God, what was it called? It was like this horrible hotel. It was like a hotel that was like on like a motorway or just off a motorway. And like coach parties would come.
Oh, Jesus.
And stay there. And it was just like the driest, most horrible place. And it was like haunted and like, but not in a fun way.
Intrigue. No, not fun.
But it was just so dry.
What era were the ghosts from to make them not fun?
No Victorian children, no, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Well, that was like 1978. Yeah. Really modern ghosts. No, but also because old people would go on coach holidays.
Yeah.
So they would die in the hotel.
Okay. So it's not like, ooh, they're like, there's no sordid stories. It's just like angina.
Yeah, I think she died. Yeah. God bless her soul.
There's no like, oh, they got thrown out of a window backwards and they never figured out who it was. No. It was actually just high blood pressure that got them.
Yeah, it's cardiac arrest.
High blood pressure in a day with too much activity.
Yeah, it's cardiac arrest at the breakfast buffet. That kind of whodunit.
Yeah, they're like...
High blood pressure again.
What's the ghost's name? Nigel.
No, but dry. It was... And also with a lot of these jobs, what I find frustrating, like I was working behind a bar.
Is it the exploitation?
Yeah, the no money. No, but it's more like how much people care.
Oh, you know the jobs worths that live in those jobs.
Or like the manager, which I get, you're the manager. But the amount of times I used to work behind bars and I'd get in an argument with the manager. And I'd be like, but I'm pouring liquid into an empty glass. It does not matter. What are we doing here? So yeah,
this has no meaning.
It has no meaning, and like I don't care.
Yeah.
I find it really hard to care.
Oh,
even
I
in the job
care.
That I do now,
I'd be caring.
Really,
but not about. I wouldn't. Like I cared when I worked in restaurants and stuff like this. It was like a game of like spinning plates. Do you know what I mean? So like it was that thing.
You're
of,
a terrible
like,
waiter.
Food. Everywhere.
There you are, just disco plated, walking in.
Like they're begging her to stop. They're like, we've lost so much food. Please, you have to stop.
Yeah, the woman's like, it's impressive, but there's egg on my blouse.
They're like, the food never gets out the kitchen. No, but I would be like...
Shaken, not stirred. No, just put the plate down. Just put the plate down. Actually, what are you doing?
The eggs weren't scrambled when they left the kitchen. They sure are now. No, but it was more like that thing of like... I think, again, like the ADHD stuff where I'd be like, okay, that table needs drinks. I need to clear them. It was like so many things. And it was like, can I get it all? Like, you know, but in the same way. So like when it was a busy like Friday night service, I'm like operating on top form. But when it's like slow, I'm like, who cares?
Nah. No,
there's nothing stimulating.
No.
So I don't actually care about anything. But if I'm stimulated enough by it.
Yeah.
Then I'm like in it.
Couldn't be me.
But...
Could that be you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ruby is the job. Ruby's the woman who fired you.
Wait a second.
She became your best friend and then immediately hated you because of your lack of productivity.
Ruby's spelled backwards. Yibber. It's you.
From the Rule Britannia. The Rule Britannia Hotel off the Coventry motorway.
What is that place called?
It's better we don't.
Working in pubs and working in bars, it really, I stayed in it much longer than I think what I should have done, but I just loved it. I loved it constantly being busy and there always being something to do. And the bar that I worked at had four bars. So when that bar dried up and I was like, oh, there's nothing to do right now, I'd walk to the next one.
Wow. Could not be me. Honestly.
That's what I mean. She'd fire you.
I loved it.
But Ruby is exactly the type of person who, though, do you know when you like, would work in a bar and it's like really busy and you're like, yeah, score, pouring pints, all this stuff. And then it goes for a lull, and you're like, okay, but obviously now we're all just going to chill, right? Until, no, Ruby's the person who's like, right, guys, let's take this moment to restock the fridges. Let's wipe down the counters. Let's do a deep clean so we're ready for the next rush. Fuck off. Do you know what I mean? I'm never that person.
Never.
But when we're busy.
You were.
We know.
Oh, no, you were just busy.
When we're busy, okay. I'm there. I'm in the thick of it. I'm charming people, pulling pints, taking money. I'm vibing. But because it was a show, it was a performance.
Not for me, it weren't. Also, like, behind the bar, I'm a sweaty girl, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm a human slip and slide, lay me down, ride me out. But I would, like, be so hot in, like, a busy bar, and I'd, like, go to serve the drink, and then, like, spit would fall into the drink, and I'd be like, was it a shandy? No? Okay, great. So I'd just stand in the bar, in the fridge all the time, in the freezer.
Get rid of the condensation.
Yeah, and also just the bad vibes of working in a fucking bar. Because I hate being treated like the help. Like, I hate being treated like someone that's like below, the way that the clientele would like talk to you.
Well, I was going to say, what bars were you working in? Because I worked in pubs. Yeah. And I feel like pubs and bars are two different environments.
What's the difference between a pub and a bar?
There's no real cocktails in a pub, firstly. I feel like generally. Yeah,
yeah. Snake bite. Maybe a snake bite.
That's a delicacy, not a cocktail. but I think, like, do you know, in a pub, it's much more like, again, like, you can't, when the pub was busy, one second, like, whatever else. Whereas a bar feels very like, do you know, like, people are there with money and shit like this. Whereas a pub is like, you have come here to sit and chill. Like, there's no real music. Like, we're not in a fucking environment. You know what I mean?
You really painted that picture for me, thank you.
But I'm getting the vibe that you worked in bars.
And to those who are just listening, Catherine did read from a dictionary about the two.
I think it's vibes are the entire difference. And I think therefore...
But I also like... So I've worked in both. I'd say a pub is annoying because it's like these old men who expect you to know what they're going to order before they've even asked. And like they walk up to the bar and you've got to like know that they're there and like serve them. Like
before they walk up and they're like... could I get a pint? You're like, what?
No, but honestly, because it'll be like they'd want like a touch of lemonade, but only for the first pint. And the second pint, they don't want that. And you're supposed to know that already. And it's just like, I don't fucking care, mate. And then like a bar would just be like annoying city people talking to you like shit. Yeah. But I would always be like, if you're going to talk to me like shit, I'm doing nothing for you. So go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then I'd get in trouble because the clientele would be leaving. Yeah. But then also like...
Because you literally told them to go.
But it's also like the pay. What is the gain for me? Like, I remember working in a bar, like the first bar I worked in London was in like Belsize Parks, like in between Camden and Hampstead.
Yeah.
A real weird mix of like real like Camden people, but then also like quite like celebrity like Hampstead people. But like
any celebs come in?
So like Helen Bonham Carter would come in. That tall footballer. Really tall one.
He's married to a blonde woman.
Crouch.
Yeah.
Because it's funny that someone else's name is Crouch.
Oh, no, I never thought that. you're right.
It was so funny that you said lol.
Look, and now he's doing it. Crouch, Helen Bonham Carter. Okay.
And people like that. Like
vibes off them?
Just like, oh, and also one time that Niall from One Direction was in there.
I've been in a pub with Niall. I've actually been in multiple pubs with Niall Horan.
Okay, well, it's not a competition. Jesus Christ. I didn't care. But the only thing was is that my cousin loved Niall.
Right.
So then he asked me for like quite a big round, and I said, look, mate, I would give you this round if you can. I'd already written a little
like
on a
for piece. Free.
Nah.
Oh.
I'll just pour the round. I'll just do my job.
Wait, I will do my job on one condition.
No, but I had like got on a piece of paper, I love Neve, because that's her name.
Oh, okay.
And then I was like, can you just hold this and I'll take a picture? So then he did. And then.
So he sang.
Yeah, it was cute.
Good. Good man, Niall. Keep up the reputation.
But wait, I can't. Oh, yeah. But then, like, things like fights would break out. I mean, one time this fight broke out because this one guy said this other guy was gay because he was wearing a pink shirt.
Right.
So I was very welcomed.
And they thought, we'll solve this by showing them what gay really looks like.
No, but then a fight broke out. Someone got glassed and, like, the locals were there and they were like, Dan, get involved. And I was like, I'm being paid £8.50 an hour. I'm doing fuck all.
Yeah.
Nah.
I'm not getting glassed.
But also, that pub was really, like, scary as well because it was right next to the hospital. And there would be people, the Royal Free, is it, I think? Is it?
Well, no, it's when pubs are next to hospitals, often people who are in the hospital will then go to the pub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like, should you be drinking? No, but they would escape sometimes. They would like leave and then you would serve someone and then literally there was multiple times it happened that they would reach for the drink and then I would see on their hand the hospital ID bracelet. Or the thing that like an
IV drip?
Yeah, like the drip thing.
The cannula.
One of my old,
I used to actually be on Grey's Anatomy, so I know that.
But then you'd be like, oh, fuck. And they would get, and it would be too late to be like, excuse me, I need to take that back. Or I wouldn't say it because I didn't care.
I was going to say.
And then the person would just like be a fucking mess. It just, I'm not good at like front facing like service jobs.
Oh.
I'm just not.
Yeah, fair. Actual, just to counter this again, just so we can understand how I actually think we could have made a really good TV show if Ruby and Dana worked in the same pub. Ruby, when fights would break out or people would become problematic at your bar.
I was very good at dealing.
Oh, really? What do you do? You are the least confrontational person that I think I know.
I'm actually very confrontational.
Oh, are you? Come on, man. Just call me gay.
Nah. Ruby is someone who like is not confrontational in a, I would say, a social setting. But when there is, again, when there is a clear set of rules,
yeah,
like a policy about, like, there is something very clinically, you're in the wrong, Ruby will be more than happy to take that charge.
I do maybe see that.
More than happy to take that charge.
I feel like the reason why I'm really good at stopping fights, though, is because I'm a 6-foot woman.
Yeah.
Mm. Is that they can't hit me because I'm a woman.
What, sorry? What am I then, huh?
They like can't.
Well, that is why everyone would be like, Dan, get involved.
Yeah, with my big wet tits. Yeah. Boys, stop.
But who's gay?
I would go, like, when I'd go up to the group, like, if, like, a group of men were being rowdy and someone needed to go over and tell them that they needed to calm down a bit, I would go over and I'd be like, oh, sorry, lads. And they'd hear my voice and be like, oh, woman, someone to belittle. And then they'd turn around and realise I'm taller than all of them.
Yeah, you belittle. So... Not me.
You bees little.
And so in that confusion, I can tell them what to do. And also I've got good, like, sort of like mum teacher energy.
Yeah, I feel the teacher like you. Yeah, I feel that.
So like, I remember one time.
Boys.
That's it.
I love that note.
I did it to, so this man in the pub, he was being ridiculous. I'd kicked him out already twice, but now he was outside pestering this group of men and they couldn't get rid of him. And I had had enough of him and I saw him like sort of like push one of the men. So I ran out and I did it. I went, and he like froze. And I went, how dare you? And proper went in teacher mode at him. And he literally ran into oncoming traffic.
And he died.
To get away
and
from me.
And he's dead.
They all like swerved. He went across the road and like left. And then the group of men were like, whoa, you're really scary. We couldn't get rid of him. And I was like, yeah, that's a warning to everyone. Don't make this side of Ruby come out.
And may I ask, were you dripping wet? Because I am just listening. The power.
So many of those.
Sometimes the fun thing about like jobs like that. Not the fun thing, but like it is that thing of you're so overexploited, you're not getting paid enough. That when you get the chance to gain some power, it is fucking delicious to do it.
Yeah, but my gaining of power was kind of like rolling my eyes and being like, whatever,
just
girl.
The apathy. The apathy is powerful as well.
Because they want you to care. They're like, I'm going to tell your manager. I'm going to leave a bad review.
Get
and
fucked.
You're like, okay.
Yeah. There were literal times when I like worked in a bar where someone would say something like that and I'd be like, oh, wait, do you think I care? No, girl. Yeah. Do whatever you want. Because she's my mate back there.
Yeah.
Until she wants to fire me.
Right now. Honestly. 3 more of you and I'm our worst enemy. Okay, so wait. Who was, in all the jobs that you've done, if you were asking...
I thought you were reading the wrong one.
All right, Jobsworth.
You've got to get it right the first time.
My God. A little creative license, please.
Well, this is a really tense environment. I'm back behind a bar.
It's a toxic workplace we're working in. I asked for a lager top.
Actually, I'm verse. Yeah. I'm lager verse.
For the listeners, I mimed a pint. I mimed a
very good mime of a pint.
It was good.
Thank you. I've been medically advised to stop miming so much.
By who?
I'm so good at it.
Medically advised.
Too good.
She lives in her own reality. Okay, anyway, right, okay. So if you were asked in an interview, right, so you're in an interview and you were asked what your biggest weakness is, what would you say in an interview context? And then I want you to tell us what the real answer is.
I think I would say that I'm quite a control freak, which is true.
Okay.
I am a control freak.
But what's the, like, you know the way every weakness in a job interview is actually
it's like you spin it into a good.
I'd be like, I'm a control freak, but because I want, because I have a certain way of things. No, wait, I haven't had a job interview in about 400 years. This role play, go back to mine. I can't do it, shit. I'd be like being a control freak means that like I care and I'm passionate and I want to make sure but I want to make sure that the thing gets done, you know. But I am a control freak. That's a massive part of also like me working with other people. It's kind of like being less of a control freak and being like, this is what I think, and then someone could be like, no, and you have to go, okay, yeah, sure. But
and then you don't sleep for 3 days.
No, but it's true.
And then when they eventually do go your way, you're like, oh, are we doing it?
That was a great choice.
Well, there's that, but actually the learning is also to be like, sometimes you watch them do the thing that they thought was best, and you go, oh, because it's not me doing it. This is when I'm like consulting on people's shows.
Because it's not
me doing it. Actually seeing you do the thing, it's different. It's different.
It's a different voice.
But often they do go back to my idea. Yeah.
I was going to say, that was actually a really like powerful, nice answer. Yeah. No, we spin it back around.
But I'm actually always right.
Go back. No, but it is nice. It really taught me to kind of, but also like, it teaches you to have less control in terms of like, this is your baby. So like, you do whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just here to like help you nurse it.
So you...
With my big wet breasts. Stop fighting, boys.
But wait, it sounds like you like are like, oh, I'm having to learn to care less about like creative stuff. It's almost like what Ruby had to learn in the pub. Like, care less. It's not yours.
Yeah.
It's not your money that they're fucking losing on the stock, on the cocktails, for God's sake. Also, how many times did you catch people stealing from the pub?
Oh, 5.
And for clarity, it's not like...
I really thought you were going to be like, loads, but you have an exact number of how many times.
And she has their pictures all pinned up. And this is not like clientele, these are staff members who were stealing.
Oh.
She ratted out her comrades.
I caught a guy, though, trying to steal phones. Like, I literally caught his hand. I grabbed his hand while it was on people's phones. And the two people, like, they were sat at a table and they had their phones stacked on top of each other. And this guy came over and tried to cover the phones to take them.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I saw it from the other side of the bar, ran around, grabbed his hand, flicked up the little sign. And then the two customers just stared, just looked at this man trying to steal their phones while this man was looking at me holding his hand. And I yelled at the customers to be like, pick up your phones!
Wow.
And then I yelled at the man, get out my pub, which was very enjoyable.
That's the one line you want to be able to say.
Yeah.
I yelled at Anani,
get out my pub.
Yeah, and then I had to go back to the table and apologize for yelling at them.
No, but also, like, how stupid of them just to, like, gormlessly stare
but
at
also,
you.
Also, why did you have to apologize to them? See, that's where you and I would dare. I would have done probably the same amount of things, but then you'd be like, oh no, I, as an employee, I'm supposed to. Yeah, why not? I saved your fucking phones. What are you going to do?
So I'd have been in the corner going, your phones. Your phone's getting nicked. Wait, your phone's getting nicked.
Look at that guy stealing phones. That's quite a good
method. I'm like, mate, give us one.
Dan buys the phones.
You're on the corner spinning some plates. You're the one stealing the phone, trying to distract them.
For some reason, while I'm spinning plates, I have nipple tassels on.
Yeah, this is a pub where we're all topless.
I feel like us three were going to a pub would have been actually jokes.
No, but I would say that I am a control freak.
Is that your biggest weakness?
No, not at
Tell
all.
Tell us.
My biggest weakness is a huge cock.
Sweaty nipples, huge cock. Can you please
you
stop?
My grinder.
I'm wet.
No, my biggest
Either
weakness...
Either that or I am on my period.
Oh, God. No, I have so many weaknesses, to be true. To be fair, like, it is a lack of care sometimes.
Okay, apathy.
Yeah, it's more like if I don't care about the job, then it affects so many things. But also, like, I am neurodivergent, so like my timekeeping is really shit sometimes. But like I try, but if, as in like, even when I try, I'm still gonna be 10 minutes late.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Even when I really try not to be.
But I think you saying that the actual weakness is you not caring, but I almost think that's also a strength, because so many of these jobs, like we say, all these 0-hour contracts that we do on the way to trying to do the thing we wanna do.
Yeah.
Have to like, I cared too much at the pub. I worked out there also over the pandemic. So that's one point I was like, is this now the only thing I'm doing?
Yeah, of course.
But you have to be able to be like, actually, I don't care about this, and walk away from it. Or even like just switch off at the end of the shift going, this doesn't affect me anymore.
I would say when it is not, you're not somewhere that you actually like want to be long term, it is such a strength to be that apathetic, because it's so easy to get sucked into it and then you're pulled in and da-da-da.
Yeah.
And even like the politics of the place and the social, like all of it. And then you're like, oh, fuck, I haven't done... You know, like, I'm doing this to keep the lights on, pay the bills, to do the other thing.
I guess I always...
say that is, weirdly, in the context of what we were doing, a strength.
Okay, well...
Ooh.
But I think I've always known what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, all these jobs were just things to, like, help me along the way of achieving what I wanted to do in life. So yeah, but I mean, like, it just gets to the point where, but then I do feel bad sometimes. Like, there was a time where, because I was late all the time, and then I just have to like give these excuses. And this one time I was like, I was like an hour late for this like job, and I was like, oh, this woman fell off the bus, and I had to wait for the ambulance to arrive because she like hit her head. And then my employer was like, is this the same woman that you spoke about 2 weeks ago who fell off the bus? And I'd forgotten that I'd given the exact same excuse.
Oh, no, Dan.
Wait, had this actually happened?
No, it hadn't happened. But like, that's also the thing. I can't just do like the same, like, oh, delayed train. It has to start getting a bit more imaginative. And then it can't be about death. It can't be family death.
No.
It can't be things like that. It has to be like, just imagine things out of my control.
Something that on your dream. I have the same. I remember once I was at Highbury Islington roundabout, and I was on a bus, and the bus pulled out and hit a fella on a bike, and then the bike sort of went into a car and whatever else, and then it stopped up the whole traffic. We also then had to all get off the bus. They rang an ambulance, but no buses could come because it had blocked off the road, all this type of stuff. And I remember I was actually just trying to go somewhere socially. I was like, fuck's sake, this would have been great if this had happened on the way to work.
But then log
but
it
let
in.
Me tell you how many times that actually did happen to me on the way to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not a lie, it's just an irrelevant truth.
I've got a trick as well, a good ADHD trick. On my phone, I've got like saved photos of like traffic and like delayed trains.
Yeah.
So when I'm running late, I can send it and be like, traffic's so bad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is like perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would say this is our greatest strength. It's like just building.
I wish I put the amount of effort I do into excuses into the fucking work. Jesus Christ.
110%. Okay, who was in all of the work you've done, be it creative or 0 hours or whatever else, like the most, although I'm going to say the most incompetent person you've ever worked with, but it just sounded like it was you a lot of the time.
This is it though. When I read that question, I was like, it's me. I am the one. I like, because I work with like my collaborator is a performer called Robin Herfellow. Like, plays the piano. It's incredible.
Great. We love Robin.
And like, this, the amount of times it had to be like, sorry, girl, it's happened again. Or like, let's cancel that. Oh, sorry.
Robin's answer. Who's the most incompetent? Dan.
No, honestly. But but then it's about realizing your strengths, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, I find it hard to do the work, but get me in the room, and then we're fine. Like, it's about like just knowing what you're good at and what you're not so good at, and being clear about that. You know.
Oh, but
so
who else? Like, what incompetence can't you stand? Because you are, like, I feel like we're being like, you don't do anything, but you are incredibly hardworking. Again, when you're in invested
if we're
going to
take
something.
This, because we're talking about strength, we're also going to say that you're incredibly but funny, like, and you, like, and brilliant at writing.
Rate, the work rate of
you. And very talented.
Yeah.
And very lovely.
Well, like, séance shows are like fucking, well, you think of like a fucking, like, even me, just a stand-up show or like a fucking man stand-up show. Oh, yeah, here's just some things I did. There is like costumes, there's music, there's staging, there's lighting. Like, when you put work into something, it is a very high caliber of work and a huge amount of work.
No, I appreciate that. And this is it, that like, I know what my strengths are. And I'm sure also actually, like, It's a lot of narratives that I play out, like undiagnosed ADHD until a few years ago. So like my biggest like voice that is negative in my head is that like I can't do it, or like
you're lazy.
I'm stupid, or do I mean? So there's a lot of at the moment as well. I'm trying to do a lot of work of like stepping out of that comfort zone, where like show making and stuff like that is kind of within a comfort zone. Whereas like sitting down and like writing out a script for something or it feels studious, which makes me reject it. Because I feel like I'm not good at that, but actually, like, I am. I'm just trying to, like, reprogram some of that stuff.
But wait, then who, like, I want to know what
my God, listen. How that is,
come on.
One of the things that...
Because when the most incompetent person calls someone incompetent, then you know. Then
okay,
you know
so
bad.
Wait, what's true? I'm either really talented or I'm really incompetent. I don't understand what's going on.
It's one or the other and there's no in between.
Can you smell gas?
No, but burnt toast. It's a callback. We love it.
And the incompetence in work is actually something that I find really frustrating. Especially like, there's a lot of jobs in the arts that none of us really know what they're doing.
Oh,
there's a lot of jobs
yes.
in the arts where it's like, I paid you $2,000 and I don't know what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. So like any kind of PR, most kinds of producing, like a lot of it, I'm just there like, what is it you're doing? I don't know.
Yes.
And like sometimes when you're paying someone to do something and then you find, I've had moments before where like I've had producers or people work for me, and like after a tour or something, I've had to sit down and have a meeting and be like, this is what you said you'd do. Out of this list, this is how much I did. So let's figure out how much you get paid.
Yeah.
Because like...
That's funny. That's so savage. No, but oh my God, that's amazing.
No, but
the tea.
As somebody who has been a producer.
It was Catherine. No, but like...
I did nothing.
No, but it's also...
No, but genuinely, it is what... because it's one of those things sometimes, like even just mates, I feel like maybe it was possibly with you at the time, but... Like, I'd be, say, like, at the Edinburgh Fringe, and I'm like, oh, well, I'm doing this, and I'm going to the show, and I'm doing this and that, and they'd be like, friends would be like, oh, a producer's supposed to do that? And I'd be like, I'm flat out doing that. You know, I'm flying out, doing whatever, I'm picking up flyers. They'd be like, oh, my producer just sort of showed up once, and you could see them be like, oh, no. And so, even for me, I'm like, it's so frustrating. And I think as someone who is a comedian and has been a producer and a promoter and whatever else, that it's so, there is so much exploitation.
Well, yeah, because
also... And
also,
like, there's such a discrepancy.
But at this point as well,
and some of those people make so much more money than I ever did.
But this is it, but at this point where...
I did so much more work.
But at this point where you have a team, like, you're successful, you've had success enough to have a team.
Yeah.
But I'm also at a point where I'm the, most often, the last to be paid and the least to be paid.
Yes.
And everyone else is being paid because of the product that I've made. But no, okay, but there was a time where someone's incompetence really... fucked me up, basically. So I was doing a show. I was doing a séance show. And we had...
If you have not been to a séance show, go to a séance show.
Yeah, calm.
It's the spookiest, cuntiest thing you've ever seen in your life.
That's Catherine's marketing for you.
There you go. That's why I get paid not enough.
We're doing the show, and we had like the tech that we normally work with, that like we tour with and stuff, they weren't like free. So we had like an in-house tech, and the in-house tech was gay. And I remember me and Robin being like, oh, perfect. Like they're gonna, because a lot of times.
We should explain for anyone who isn't in show business. A tech is a technician. They're the person who's working the lights, the music cues, sound.
All of
that.
Those things. And often it can be like, it's either a gorgeous queer person who like is really lovely to be around and they're great, or it's like a really uncommunicative man who like hates your fucking guts the moment you step into the room.
Yes.
And like often because like what I do as a drag character, they have this preconceived idea that I'm going to be like a diva and really hard to work with. And like, so often in the tech, I have to really do a lot of work to try and sway them away from that idea of me and just be like, stop treating me unfairly, basically. But we had a gay tech, and we were like, okay, perfect. Like, he's going to love what the product is. He's going to really be involved and, like, want this to be good.
Yeah.
The problem that we found was that he loved the product so much that we were, like, in the show, like, performing. And I was like, where are these fucking cues? Like, thinking that. Obviously, not saying on stage. Yeah. But thinking that. And then, like, I looked to the tech booth, and he's just sat there with his, like, lean forward above, like, over the tech board. Hand under his chin, just, like, watching the show like everyone else. And I was like, bitch, I'm not paying you to watch the show.
Also,
do your job. Can't trust the gays either. it was like, go. And I had to like write an email to be like, this isn't on. Like, we can't.
That's
be
also
doing
hilarious that you're so good at your job that you made someone be horrendous at theirs.
No, but this is the thing that makes me the most frustrated about incompetence, especially on stage. If I am up there doing my best, and because you're not, you're making the product worse, I can't bear that.
We should all be trying
to do our best.
Yeah.
Like, I hate someone ruining what I'm doing because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, like, when you're the performer, it's your face, and so it's reflective only on you. They don't come out and say, like, the tech was really bad.
No.
They'll say, the tech went really weird, the show's bad.
Yeah. As I've just mentioned, most people don't even know what the fuck a tech is or doesn't understand, like, you're not in control of all of that. But also,
why is there one nerd in the back who's been underlit? What's that one audience member nerd doing in that box who's been underlit? They've got no idea what it's a tech. Not saying that all techs are nerds, I'm just saying that I can't do what you do because I'm not a nerd.
You love the buttons and knowing what they mean.
But there are so many techs I fucking love, and like when it's right, it's perfect. But like,
it's like
just
having a shit MC on a gig.
Oh.
Or they go out and they act like it's their show, and
baby,
then you have to go out and repair the room before you can even fucking do your set.
I literally once, I was like headlining a night recently, and the MC, the person went on before me, really smashed, they were brilliant, the energy was so alive in the room. And I was like, great, because I was headlining, I had to do quite a longer set.
Yeah.
And the MC went out and honestly did as long as me on stage, like maybe like 35 minutes, and was just talking to people.
Wait, can I guess who this is?
No, you can't. We can't. Because I've also forgotten what their name is. We literally can't. But like, literally was just like being like, what's your job? And the person would say, and they'd be like, great, do you enjoy that? And it was like a bad interview. And I was like, I know they were trying to find where the gold would be, but you're not manufacturing anything for there to be gold at all.
This is the thing.
It just goes longer and longer. And then I had to go on stage after witnessing a 35 minute interview of a group of people and then do my set. And I was like, great.
All the goodwill's gone.
Yeah. No energy in that room at all.
Yeah, I think it's the worst thing.
Yeah.
It's because it is that thing of like, as an MC, even though you're performing and you're on stage and like, I love doing it, but you are doing a job. You have a job to do.
Yeah.
And you are one, running the admin of the night, like it's your job to keep it running on time, make sure blah, blah, blah happens. But it's also your job to ensure that, okay, someone goes out and has a shite set, or the audience weren't vibing it, or there's a problematic audience member.
Mm.
It's your job to fix all of that in order to, and it's why you get paid more.
Yeah.
And it's why whatever, like, it's because it is your job to ensure that when people go out there, you've tried to create the best set of circumstances for them to be able to do their job.
Yeah, because I think also the misconception about like headlining a night is you're the last on.
Yeah.
The room is tired.
Yeah.
People have been there. They've been laughing the whole night.
Yeah.
And unless you're like TV, it's quite hard. And you need to like energize them again.
Yeah.
Like, it's difficult.
It's hard being the headliner.
Woe is me.
No.
What is the weirdest thing someone has said to you at work?
When I first moved to London, I did loads of, like, I wanted to be an actor.
Oh.
An actor. So I did like loads of these like little bit jobs.
You're too tall to be an actor, shorty.
Wow.
Who said out of frame.
Who said I didn't want to be an actor anymore? That's my career gone. This is where I find out. I actually am a great chest actor.
Yeah,
my head's out of frame, but my tits, again, out, wet.
Sweat.
Doing a great job. So one of the gigs.
Do you know what he does? He puts his full chest into it.
Yeah, you have to.
Just a shot of one person doing really serious scene.
But it's dramatic, so you're like heavy breathing.
And then there's just like a bead of sweat that goes down like a tear.
Looks like a tear. Yeah.
Could you cry on camera? Watch me.
Just be lactating. Does that count? They're like, oh, he's milking it again.
Yeah. Oh, too good.
Just the idea of like Meryl Streep in a scene, just like really like furiously, like emotionally shouting, and then just my one hairy tit leaking one drop in response.
Oscar.
He's there as well.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha!
Wait, no, weirdest thing someone said to you. Come on.
No, so I had this like little acting gig, and it was like the weirdest thing they said to me was, "You're wearing the gimp suit." Let me explain.
I was about to say, context.
So, like, you know the, like, secret cinema?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it was, like, an offshoot of that, but it was, like, a drive-in. And so, like, a drive-in cinema thing. And they were doing, oh, God. What's the one where they dance like that? Is it Pulp Fiction?
Oh, Rocky Horror?
No,
that is Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
There we go.
And there's a gimp character in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Perfect.
for the sake of the story, sure.
So I got there not knowing like what part I was going to be, because we were the actors who had to like...
The immersive experience.
The immersive experience of it all.
Yeah. And then, I don't want to do immersive experience
games. It's horrendous. It's fucking horrific. So what I also hate, I hate the idea... You know when you go to see a show... And it's like immersive at the beginning, like before the show. There's the actor like come out in the audience being like, "All right, corporal, what are we gonna?" I'm like, "Don't fucking talk to me. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. What are you doing?" As a very interactive comedy act, don't fucking talk to me.
Shoe on the other foot. Get fucked.
It's so cringe. Yeah. All right, oh, look at him over here. He needs. I'm not good at it myself. That's why they put me the gimp. No words. No, so.
Well, they were like, "We're not going to look at his face anyway, so put a mask on it." No, this is chest acting.
Just two little holes for my nipples to leak. Yeah. No, so I was in the gimp suit. So I arrived and they're like, "Oh, you're going to be wearing the gimp." And I was like, "Oh, right." And it's like really hot day. They got me this like this Amazon gimp, like one size fits all. Let me tell you, one size does not fit all. There I am, stretching the pit, stretched around the crotch, wearing this like pleather, this like fake plasticky like gimp suit that was like stretched out that looked like a wombat, like a kinky wombat. Is that a wombat? Is that the like flying squirrel?
No, that wombat's like a little tiny bear.
Okay,
like,
well, firstly, thank you. A little tiny bear. No, like a squirrel, like the skin had stretched around the pit.
Oh, I know what you
like
mean.
A flying squirrel. I think they're called flying squirrels.
Yeah. So then I had to, but then what I didn't really realize, because we got there before the people got there. So we got into costume and stuff. And then also the person that booked us, she was also like, "I just got a bag in." And she was like, does everyone want any cocaine?
So we're like... a professional acting gig.
No, but we got paid quite a lot. but she was like, "Let's just have a little, you know." Yeah. So then we all just, you know, got on it.
Yeah.
And then I have to... And then we go out. And I'm in this gimp suit. And I realise that it's just like a family fete. Like before the film, it's just families like playing ping pong outside and like doing outdoor games. And I'm walking around in a gimp suit that doesn't fit me. And then I'm like, I have to, and also I'm high. I'm high. So then I'm having to like, so then I like try and make the most of it because people are just really not wanting to me to be anywhere near them, which I fully understand.
They're trying to protect their children.
Their children.
Wait, why is it families? A Pulp Fiction. It's not a family.
This is it. Like, because also the person was, because we went out and then we went back into like the dressing room bit and we're like, "It's just families out there." And she was shocked also.
Okay.
She was like, "What?" but she was like, "You just have to go out. We've been paid."
Imagine. So they were like, "This is supposed to be Paddington Bear."
It said it's a tiny little bear in a gimp suit. A wombat. So the audience today have learned what a tech is and also what a wombat is.
We learned so much.
Yeah, it's an informative podcast.
So I'm having to like go around and make the most of it. So like I'm walking around, it's like the dad's playing table tennis and I'm like making them spank me with the paddle in front of their kids. And just like walking around like dancing with like my mate who's also been booked. And then at nighttime when they're all watching the film in their cars, my friend wrapped a belt around my neck and then just like walked me like a dog on the bonnet of all of their cars as they watched the film. And also I got with one of the actors. It was actually quite hot. It was actually a really hilarious day. But like in terms of being employed, someone saying you're in the gimp suit,
that is
crazy to me.
Yeah.
And luckily, like, I mean, now I have doxed myself, but, like, I was in a gimp suit, so the Daily Mail couldn't know my identity to, like, read me out. Queer comic, paddle spanked in front of kids.
The gay agenda.
But yeah, so that. But the fucking amount of like little bit jobs you do as a creative like that.
Yeah, this is it.
The things we do to chase this fucking dream.
This dream. Jesus. The glamorous job that we all have.
But I say this about comedy. Is it glamorous? Our job, the curse of our job is being a funny person that has to make unfunny people laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I can't bear that.
Look, absolutely fine.
Cackle central.
Easy. And also people are on your level.
Yeah.
And then there's people that do you know the worst is when you tell a joke or you do a bit or a callback and like three people in the room get it. It's gone over everyone's heads.
Or like...
And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
There's been times where like I've done like a...
catch up.
A 10 minute, like one night. And it's... Yeah. And in a, like a... So I did like a gig at the Hackney Empire. But I did a 10 minute and it smashed. It was such a brilliant like night. And then I did the exact same 10 minutes the next day to silence.
Yeah.
And I was just there like, I know this is good. Like I can't bear the fact that it just... You can never count on it always being okay.
Yeah. I feel like that's it. But then I don't think we'd be... that's the thing, is that every time you go out and you have a good gig, you feel like you've won.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had a great day. And it's annoying, but the people I relate to most that when I talk about gigging is... I've got like one or two weird childhood friends... Weird, they're not weird. Childhood friends who are professional athletes. And it's the most related to them that they're like, generally, I'm a good player. I play at this level. Mm. But you can go out and have a bad game and you can't always know why. You can't always predict it and you don't always know. And the crowd's there and you're fucking looking at yourself being like, why the fuck is this not working? Mm. Right? And it can sometimes be, you know, environment or issues like that. But it's like on, you know, sometimes you're on form, sometimes you're off form.
What do you think's worse, to be an athlete with like a whole crowd watching you failing or a comedian? What do you think would feel worse?
Ooh.
I think athlete... Imagine being like a footballer.
Football, because those people are fucking cunts. Because to be like, I've been heckled on
stage.
The stakes
are higher.
And I can speak back. The amount of shit that, like, literal things get like thrown on them and all sorts.
And it's a whole crowd heckling. Yeah.
And they've made a song about you.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know how they come up with them so quickly.
Yeah, they're good. I won't lie, they're good.
Like, they're organised and...
Yeah, and there's harmonies.
But... I could actually be really rich and be really good at that.
Oh, actually, if I had to choose failing as a footballer and being a fucking multi-millionaire.
Exactly. That's the thing. We could be great at our job, but we're still nowhere even near.
No.
I could wipe my tears with all my money.
Mm. Instead of the used tissues at the side of your bed.
Oh, it's covered in damn sweat again.
That's calm.
Let's do the last question.
Okay, we need to wrap this up.
Which is, in hindsight, what job did you learn the most from or has been the most useful to you?
Interesting. That's not, like, the job before being, like, creative.
Yeah, I suppose.
You can say creative, but, like...
Well, I think I was a TA, like, a teaching assistant in SEN schools for, like, years, which was, like, really intense work, but, like, work that I really loved.
Yeah.
Because it's like the skill set was like...
Did you sit there in that job and be like, who cares?
I mean, I was still late, but... It's like, woman fell off the bus. No, but I did care. You have to care. Like,
yeah,
but like,
exactly.
It was all about like learning. A lot of these kids I worked with were like autistic and nonverbal. So you'd have to like learn them to such a like minute level, like just like the change in their eye contact or like a shift in their energy would be like, oh, they're gonna throw this plant. Like So I think that just that being able to like really connect and make someone feel safe in your company is important. And like I do a lot of like comedy workshops with children still, like different. I mean, that was TA. There's like I still do comedy workshops, but it's like a similar thing. Like, how can I get this person to understand me and what I need and for me to understand what they need and to reduce that level down to like just the person, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I think has been really useful just being as like our jobs are so personable.
Yeah. It's reading the room, but like to such a heightened level.
Yeah, and also just like the understanding of what people need from you or like what you need from them and like show making as well. I think that's important. Like, to especially like being a queer performer, it's kind of thinking, what do like as a queer person with high status in this room, which is so rare to happen, like what is the message that I can say to this variety of people that they need to hear, and what do I also need to hear from this experience for myself. But yeah, I think that was like a job that I loved. It just pays you fuck all. And and the structures that are in place at these schools are like so defunded and it's so hard. And like, I would have carried it on if I, and you just absorb all the anxieties. Yeah.
That's one that's really hard to like leave at work. Like I go home thinking about.
Yeah.
I think all of us have definitely done that job at some point.
Yeah. You'd be upset as well. Like just that there'd be certain times. Cause also like working in the agencies, for these like teaching assistant agencies, you go to different schools all over and there'll just be some schools that you're like, this is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
These poor children.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's an hour and a half away from my house, so I'm not gonna work there, I'm afraid. I can't do that. Oh, and it's all on the central line, so I can't do that.
You'd be like, oh my God, they really need someone. Can't be me.
Yeah. They really need someone in a mile radius is what they need. No, but that job really taught me a lot. Yeah. Like just connecting with people. And in such a way that was like maybe not with words, not with anything, but like just really listening and being present with someone, which is also very a draining thing, but like a beautiful thing to be able to like just really understand. And I miss some of these children when I think back to it. Like these really like were the thing that they needed. And I think that's quite important as an artist to take that as well.
That was such a beautiful thing to say.
Lovely.
After
and after
the
all,
GIMP story as
after
well.
All the gross things you said before, that's such a beautiful ending.
What a wholesome way to round it out.
And that's how you do it.
He looked at us and saw what we needed.
Sweaty tits. Wet tits.
Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having me. I had a gorgeous time.
Thank you so much for coming. Dan Y, everybody.
Thank you.
What a lovely end of a podcast.
I won't lie. Like, it gets so wholesome at the end there. But I'll be honest. When we told the GIMP mask story, I didn't think we'd have such a wholesome end. I didn't think... Talk about the range you get on the Odd Jobs podcast.
I was pretty good.
Like, what a range of stories, what a range of content we got there. But thank you so much for our wonderful guest, Dan Y.
Thank you, Dan.
Please go follow Dan on socials. They'll have shows coming up, both comedian Dan, but also Seance, their drag queen persona. Also, please go like, follow, share, subscribe us on socials.
Yeah, we got the Odd Jobs podcast. So TikTok. Oddjobs.pod.
Instagram.
Everything.
YouTube.
Yep.
Obviously not Facebook. We're not fucking elderly. We don't want those comment sections popping off.
No, thank you. But then also follow us.
Yes. We've got
Kat Higgins
Comedy.
And Ruby Vroom Vroom.
Vroom Vroom, like the car. Vroom, get it? It's a pun.
It's a pun.
Thanks so much for listening. And we'll see you again next week. Okay, bye.
Bye.